Hello, my name is Robert Rickover. I'm an Alexander Technique teacher in Lincoln, Nebraska. I also teach in Toronto, or at least I did before COVID came. My guest today is Imogen Ragone, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. And for this little video, Imogen is going to interview me. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Imogen. Thank you for doing this.
You're very welcome. So our topic for today's discussion is that we're going to talk about online teaching versus in-person teaching, but from an economics point of view. I'll get it
yes.
out. So what are the implications economically?
Yes.
So maybe you can start, Robert, with giving us a bit of your background with economics, because I know you actually were an economist before you became an Alexander Technique teacher.
I was indeed. Yeah. So yes, in a previous incarnation, I was a working economist. I worked for a number of years as a research economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I also worked for the Ontario government for a number of years, and left that to become an Alexander Technique teacher. Not a typical path into or out of either of those professions.
Quite a change, I imagine.
a big shift, a huge shift. And I just want to say a word or two about economics or economists as a topic. Mm-hmm. Economics is sometimes referred to, maybe still referred to, as the dismal science. And economists, you know, they're not considered usually terribly interesting people to talk to. A little boring, and people sort of doze off when they talk about economic stuff. There are very few portrayals of economists in movies or on TV, although there is a notable exception that I believe you're aware of too. There was an Australian series called Rake, which is on Netflix. And in the first couple of episodes, there is an economist who plays a kind of an important role. Best summed up by the main protagonist of the program watching a TV interview with the Prime Minister of Australia, who says, you know, we hired the best guy we could, the best economist to help us with our economic plan. And really, you can't blame us for not knowing that he was also a cannibal. And I thought, wow, taking it to quite a different level. So I'm not personally a cannibal, and I'm not even really a practicing economist these days. But when you train as an economist, you learn a certain way of thinking about things. And one of the things that economists are very interested in is topics like markets and market shares. And also people in business school are interested in those things as well. And I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the market share. What is the market for Alexander Technique teachers who teach in person or online, and how is it changing? Because it is changing pretty dramatically.
Yes, so, sure. So, I mean, maybe just start it with that. What are the differences?
Right. Well, I think we have to distinguish three separate periods of time. Everything up to about the end of, the end of February or mid-March of 2020. We're talking in, was it October 1st, I think, right? Today?
September 30th. You're a day ahead.
September 30th, October 2020. So
yeah.
before COVID, you had most teachers just teaching in person, but a growing number teaching online, but a relatively small portion of the Alexander teaching profession. And then there's, and I call that BP, before pandemic. Okay. And then there's another period, just plain old P, pandemic, which it was ongoing. And we don't know how long it's going to be ongoing, but it sure looks like it's going to be a significant amount of time. And then there's AP, after pandemic, whenever that happens. And those three markets, those three situations are all really different. The market situation is very different.
So you're going to describe
those? I'm going to describe each one, and So BP, before COVID, the market for any individual teacher who was doing only in-person lessons was basically how many people lived within a reasonable drive or walk or commute time from that person's studio.
Right.
Unless they were working at a university or something, but a typical self-employed Alexander teacher, that would be the size of the potential market in terms of just total number of people, even including kids and stuff, because we're going to make comparisons that so the absolute number is not all that important, but the most you could ever imagine might be someone living in New York City or London or some, those two cities in particular, where, you know, that potential market could have been as many as 15 or 20 million people. Mm. The actual market would be significantly smaller because little kids don't take lessons and so on, but 15-20 million people is a lot of people. Most teachers would be living somewhere where it might be a million people or 2 million people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'd say my potential market at that point would be just over a million, maybe. Lincoln, medium-sized city, Omaha, a larger city, a million two, something like that. Those teachers who were teaching online at that point, their potential market, well, the world's population, I just looked it up, is almost 8 billion people now. We could cut that by 75.
People with internet, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get rid of the people without internet, and the people, we'll even get rid of the people who don't speak English, because most of us speak English. So maybe it's 2 billion people. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 billion compared with 20 billion, that's a 100-fold increase. 2 billion compared with 2 million, that's a 1,000-fold increase. Much bigger market. Mm-hmm. And I think most teachers who were doing some teaching back then noticed their students came from all over the place. And
doing some online teaching.
From online teaching. So that was the situation then. Then along comes the P period, the pandemic period. The market for in-person teaching is essentially zero, but for close to zero, right?
People aren't,
it's zero. And but the market for online teaching is this 2 billion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then after pandemic, the market for teachers who just do in-person teaching is back to where it was, perhaps as much as 15 or 20 million. And the market for online teaching is back to the 2 billion or so. But there are some changes that occur from the first period to the last. Well, the market for individual teachers is, maybe still 15 or 20 million if they're just doing in person. There's a lot more competition for that market now. It's not just people who happen to live in their area, but since a lot more teachers are teaching online, pretty dramatic increase over the last several months, their market size is the same, but their market share might be dramatically different. Mm-hmm. So all of this is to say that if you are a teacher and you're kind of adamantly opposed to teaching online for various reasons, and there are certainly reasons why you might be, you are paying a pretty high economic cost for holding on to that position.
May I be devil's advocate and see what you say about it?
Yeah.
A lot of business advice that people might get if they work with a coach or follow is to niche down, because we can't speak to 2 billion generally. Unfortunately, there's not 2 billion people searching for Alexander Technique instruction.
Right, but in your local community, there's not 15 million people searching for it.
So could one argue that if you decide that in person is what you enjoy, what you find the most valuable, what works best for the way you personally like to teach, that that could in a way be more of a niche, because
yeah, for sure. That would be a niche, but I would argue that's a niche that may not be, it may be limiting a lot more than you think, because let's say, so the, if the niche is just, well, I teach in person.
Yes, it's
that's
not
kind of an odd niche, because most of, yeah, but that would be a niche that would distinguish you from people who are far away from a potential teacher.
Yeah.
But whether viable niche or not, I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Maybe less than a niche. It's more a kind of an additional selling point.
Yeah.
Do that if you're, I'm just thinking out loud.
Absolutely. And to address that, even now, people sometimes choose an Alexander Technique teacher for online teaching who is in their area, because they hope to then be able to have hands-on lessons later. Mm-hmm. That may be true. But I think with the proliferation of teachers who are teaching online, it's becoming more of a thing that's accepted as a way to learn the technique. And I'm not sure that the online part is, you have to take into account, well, okay, if my niche is I only work with people online, in person, then you're saying I'm only working with people who are willing and able to commute to me and back, which is going to take up a lot of a hunk of time, maybe an hour or so, that a lot of people just don't have these days.
Yeah,
it's a pretty expensive proposition time-wise to travel a half hour to see a teacher and then drive back or commute back to your home.
So there's an economic and a time cost.
Well, I'd say the time cost is an economic cost, because most people, their time is worth quite a bit. Especially people who have busy lives, have kids. They're even now during COVID, I mean, people are homeschooling a lot. And it's not that easy for some parents just to take off for, an hour and a half or 2 hours. So, there is this huge advantage time-wise with online teaching. That's the big point I'm making. And
and my little sidetrack about niche, in a way, it's not really a niche, because a niche would be more what?
Well, it could be I want to work with musicians. But that's going to be the same. You're going to have the same disparity of numbers. That's the basic thing. I think I'm really addressing those teachers who have kind of stayed away from online. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to go there at all. And I'm suggesting they might possibly want to reconsider that based on the fact that so many other teachers who had that same view only a few months ago are now quite enthusiastic about what they're doing. And right. maybe, you know, maybe it would be a useful thing if you are such a teacher to just reassess that position. I'm sure there are some teachers who are never, ever going to want to teach online. I have no doubt of that.
And I am thinking out loud again, there's probably some people, we're doing so much online, and to be able to go and be in someone's presence and have this beautiful touch, you know, that Alexander Technique teachers learn to do. Mm-hmm. That I imagine there's the segment of the potential market that maybe a very small segment, but mm-hmm. that would really value it, that are sick of online stuff, you know.
Yep. I can see that for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just,
but big picture, I think if you limit your practice to in person, you're cutting yourself off from a huge opportunity. And that's it, basically. Yeah. It's an expensive choice to make, is what how I might phrase it.
So do you have any advice for teachers of how they could, I mean, it doesn't have to be I'm only going to teach online. It's
absolutely.
More, it's like you can add this as an option.
Sure, sure. When COVID's done, I'm sure I'll be back to doing some in-person lessons, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but I still think that the majority of my teaching even then will be online, just yeah. because of the numbers or where I live, the market is relatively small, the area around me compared to say a big city, a big urban mm-hmm. center. So in terms of suggestions, I mean, one suggestion would be if you are a teacher who really doesn't like the idea of teaching online, I think you owe it to yourself to make sure that that position is based on some personal experience. And certainly one way to get some personal experience would be you already have some students that you may have been teaching before. You could offer them a couple of free online classes just as a way for you to practice a little bit. Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty easy and safe way. You'd say, I don't know what's going to happen, but hey, it's free and I'm would you be willing to experiment? Mm-hmm. Or let's say you have a friend or a colleague who you think might be interested in the technique, especially if the first couple of lessons were free. You say, you know, could you just take a couple of lessons with me and give me some feedback?
And that's kind of exactly how I started quite a few years ago now, working with a friend just to experiment. She was in England and I was in Wilmington. So,
yeah. And that's a great way to start. Yeah. You do need to learn a little technical stuff, not much. Zoom is a fairly simple platform to use.
And more of us are familiar with Zoom, whether you're using it for teaching or not. Yeah.
If you ask someone if they'd be willing to do a Zoom lesson with you, they're going to know exactly what to do that.
It's not as much.
It's mm-hmm. not some weird new mm-hmm. idea. The other thing that you might do as a teacher is take a look at some of the material that's on, particularly on Facebook, where people have actually posted videos of online classes they've taught, and even in some cases, online individual lessons. And just take a look and see how other teachers are doing it. I would think it would make sense if you really feel like you don't have any idea of how to proceed to maybe have a lesson or two with some teachers who are doing it. Have them teach you a lesson online. I mean, it's not, most of the teachers that I've heard from have said they are just shocked by how effective it is with ones who just started doing it.
And I guess that was my own experience years ago when I experimented, teaching with my friend. And just like, oh, this is really valuable. I actually love online teaching.
Yeah, me too. I love it. I have to say, it has, when I do go back to in-person teaching, that in-person teaching will be quite different than it was before. I've learned a lot by teaching online that I can apply to in-person teaching. But I'm really just saying, if you're someone who has not really thought about it, maybe it would be worth a little of your time to investigate really what would happen if you dipped your toe in the water.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Making
a more informed choice.
Analyzing conditions present.
Exactly. Yeah.
to use a little jargon here.
Yeah.
Now, on the somewhat negative side, I hate to be negative, but
go for it.
embrace your negativity. We've talked before about the digital divide in the Alexander world. Yeah. This is way before COVID. That there is a growing but relatively small percentage of Alexander Technique teachers who were using the web very effectively to communicate, to get the word out, to attract students and so on. And then there was a much larger percentage who really weren't there very much, or maybe they had a very rudimentary website, but there were and still are quite a number of teachers with no website. And there's this kind of a divide between those who are really embracing the technology and those who are lagging behind. And online teaching has exposed that digital rift even more dramatically, I would say, because most of the teachers who are not teaching online are not teaching.
Well, if you don't have an online presence, you're unlikely to get online students.
You're unlikely to get any students, right?
Especially online students, right?
Well, and that does a sort of a little add-on there. If you are teaching online, or if you decide to teach online, it would be really wise to have a prominently displayed page on your site that talks about that. And discusses it and gives people information about what they need at their end in terms of space requirements and lighting and camera and so on. To make it really clear to visitors, this person is available for online teaching. They also may be in your neighborhood. So maybe that would be a good person to start with, because at some point, it'd be available for hands-on. But here's the really sad thing, Imogen. Okay. I'm going to end on a really sad note here. A lot of those teachers who are kind of adamant about not teaching online are also not online very much. Certainly, many of them have no idea about what's, for example, going on Facebook right now, which is really.
So when you say on Facebook, you're not meaning in general, you're talking about like on the Alexander Technique Forum
the various groups on Facebook, some of them quite large at this point, where there's discussions of all things Alexander that I would think would be pretty interesting to anyone who is a teacher or a serious student. And there's a one group devoted to just online teaching. I'll put links to a couple of those pages. groups. It's a very vibrant world there mm-hmm. on those groups. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. It's absolutely. Yeah.
So then the question is, well, if they're not there and they're probably not watching this, how could the profession as a whole maybe make this kind of information more available? And really, I think the only organizations that are capable of that at this point are professional societies. Mm-hmm. Now, AMSAT, to its credit, has run a number of little kind of seminars mm-hmm. about online teaching. I never yeah. thought I would see that. And I believe STAT did some sort of series that included some stuff on online teaching. Mm-hmm. I think they could do both, and other organizations could do a lot more, because that's really, I think, the only way to reach those teachers who are just not there mm-hmm. to get the information that might be useful to them.
Right.
Do you have any other thoughts on that? I mean, it seems
I think you're right. And I think it was really great. What I can only speak from AMSAT, because I'm a member of AMSAT. But they did a really nice series that were put on by, I think the membership chair was really instrumental, Amanda.
Amanda,
a really great series of Zoom presentations, discussions about online teaching in particular for teachers who are interested. There was nothing to say you had to do this, but it was it could reach teachers, all members.
It was open to anyone, and actually quite a few people were mm-hmm. the one that I did a little presentation on had there were a lot of people there. I was amazed at how many, really. And I think that maybe is something that those societies would do well to do more of, because it was clearly an interest.
Yes,
even amongst the skeptics, there was an interest.
Well, absolutely. And there's ways to use online tools and presenting, even if the bulk of your work is going to be in person, there's still ways of using online interactions to enhance your practice and increase your business, if you're going to talk economically. And I do think AMSAT, I don't want to just focus on them, but I do think they're gearing up for more sessions again now. The fall is here. They have a little kind of summer break.
And maybe STAT's doing something more too.
I don't know of any other
organizations that could do that reaching of those teachers who are not currently present, or at least lurking in the background on some of those Facebook pages.
Actually, I'm just thinking out loud.
Yes.
But I'm part of a group of local teachers that we've got a little local organization mm-hmm. called ATTGP, Alexander Technique Teachers of Greater Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's obviously small. We've got 25 members, but as a group, we're putting on an online event next week. We've got 18 presentations over, and you know, no one had to put on a presentation. Many offered, and some mm-hmm. people are actually, this is them doing a Zoom presentation for the very first time. Not many. Highly experienced teachers, but not yet experienced Zoomers. It's been us doing that has opened a door for them to maybe try something that they wouldn't have done. So that just came into my head that I know there are other localized groups that. And there's something about having the group supporting this that might be more encouraging than just sort of trying something on your own. Just putting that out there.
No, I was thinking of that, actually. I've signed up I don't know how many classes I can do, because but I'm going to do what I can, because I'll say, if you are teaching online, for those people who are, it's fascinating to watch other people teach online, because they may, you may get some little nugget of an idea, a way of teaching that you had not thought of before.
Yeah, it could be just a really small thing out of a whole class.
And it can,
also be little technical things that you hadn't realized that you could do.
Right.
So it can be a little bit of both.
Right.
So it can be very,
And very I will say that Zoom is sort of turned out to be the default platform for most of this, and it really is an excellent platform, and it's pretty easy to use, but it has some, has a lot of good features that you can, you can bring to bear. So that's pretty much all I've got to say on the topic.
All right, very good, thank you. Very fascinating, actually.
Thank you. I'll just say thank you, Imogen, for being on the, for being the
being the devil's advocate.
All of that. And great. So I will bring this little discussion to an end.